Bickley and Murata. Social studies.
We welcome Sarah Cazell to the show. She's been around for a couple of hours, but you get your official welcome at 1 o'clock.
Thank you so much.
Even though you already did Mock My World.
Where is Patty Cazell for today's social studies?
Actually, she is not listening live today. She's already asked me to clip it out and send it to her.
The app
is too much.
No. Subscribe to the podcast. We got to drive numbers.
Simply not going to happen with my mom. I'm letting you know that will not happen. But she will listen later on.
Does she listen to you every day? Does she still get a kick of hearing you on the radio?
Yes, still. Right?
Well, what's wrong?
I'd be
with
bored
that?
By myself.
Fabulous.
Too.
It's awesome.
And, it is.
I'm not even. I'm going to get sad if I say it.
So. She'll be your mom too.
Yeah, but you're enabling her. You realize this, right?
Why?
Because you're going to clip the social studies out and send it to her.
Well, today they're visiting a dying family member.
Oh.
So that's why she's
I was going to talk about my dead parents, and then I went in a different direction and ended up in the same place.
Yeah,
Vinny, we all got dead people.
Sarah, you talk. I'm going to be quiet for the rest of the segment.
I'm rather enjoying this. All right, let's get into it. Before we get started, make sure you're following the show account on Twitter if you use Twitter. Bickley_Murata. Follow the guys on the show as well if you don't. What are you doing? We're going to start with the Phoenix Suns, specifically DeAndre Ayton. You guys have been talking about it. Another monster game for him last night. He had 26 points, 17 rebounds, 3 assists, and a career-high 5 blocks. So we're going to ask you to fill in the blank here. DeAndre Ayton is playing like a blank.
Top flight NBA center based over the last 2 games.
He's playing like a number 1 overall draft pick.
Mm-hmm. My runner-up was Rampaging Beast.
I was going to go all Prince there and go, he's playing like a sex sim.
Dent.
Oh, Jarrett's writing that one down. Yeah, that's a good one. And Bick, a lot of
could have gotten one more word there, I think, but I'm not quite
sure. I could have.
Bick, a lot of people echoed what you said. A number one draft pick. He is playing like a number one draft pick. Cheese Doodle Dad says in Ron Wolfley's voice, a fullback.
White? Oh, he's playing like he's got a dark heart and a painted face.
Yes. Jake Ryan says he is playing like CP3 lit a fire under his behind.
Uh-huh.
On the line, JY says he's playing like Jarrett is guarding him. I like that one. We have a Godzilla gif tearing
That's
buildings apart.
I like
That's
that.
A good one
King
from
Kong.
John. Oh, was it? I'm sorry. I don't know the difference. Jeffrey Agnew says he's playing like a man that knows what Rudy Gobert's bank account looks like.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
That's
yeah,
a
there
good
might,
one,
there
too.
Might be a little bit of a financial awakening going on here.
Jeffrey Agnew was eligible for Mock My World today and did not
right.
get picked. But after that, we should have picked him, I think.
I know. We really should have. Robert Gifford says he knows that DA is not in a contract year, but he is playing like a guy in a contract year.
Douglas says he's playing like a solid number 2 pick in the draft.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I was kind of confused by that.
Well, the other guy is still...
Are you better than him?
Listen, that's not a good response.
Again, you play like you did last night. I don't care about the other guy.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's exactly it. All right, moving on to our next question, kind of along the same vein. We are asking, in the history of Arizona sports, which athlete improved most from when they first arrived in the Valley? Open-ended.
Ooh, I got a lot of answers on this one.
All right.
Jake Plummer, focusing on the ASU years. He was, when he got to campus... Didn't play on a very good team. Skinny kid running around. By the end, he was a skinny kid running around on a great team, and he was a Heisman candidate. Steve Nash has got to be a popular answer.
Very.
And Gonzo. got to be a popular answer.
Also,
those are the two most popular.
Yeah. Luis Gonzalez, I don't know how you top that. Comes to Arizona, hits 57 home runs, wins a home run derby at the All-Star game, gets a game-winning hit in the World Series. How do you have a better year than that?
Mm-hmm. Win two MVPs back-to-back.
I would throw Larry Fitzgerald in the mix. Larry Fitzgerald famously was called a one-trick pony by Todd Haley, a guy that did not like to play with physicality and liked to catch the football and duck out of bounds. And it changed his game dramatically. In fact, in that endless argument about can you teach tenacity, worked for Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Fitz did get mentioned, but like you guys pointed out, Steve Nash and Luis Gonzalez, by far the two most popular responses. Max Scherzer did get a couple replies as well.
I saw a few for Dan Marley. Right. Also.
Yeah, Max Scherzer wasn't, I mean, if he was that great, they wouldn't have got rid of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, fair enough.
That sort of didn't, the spirit of the question, that was not the right answer.
Sure. Well, I guess the way,
did it
the
elsewhere.
Way,
yeah,
the way it's written, yeah. I guess you could interpret it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about this? Chris in Phoenix says Larry Nance from year one to year two. That was a monumental leap in overall play.
Yeah.
I he was no recollection.
I was going to say,
Leaping
Larry Nance.
Leaping Larry Nance.
He was okay as a rookie, and then, he averaged 6 points as a rookie, and then the next year started every game and averaged almost 17 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Phil Mickelson gets a shout-out, too, for his ASU days.
Okay.
Was he a two-time individual national champion?
Yeah, I don't remember a time when Phil Mickelson wasn't good, so.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Well, he won his first PGA tournament, famously, as a college student, as an amateur.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot
and,
about
and
it.
If anyone's seen it, to watch, there's footage of it on YouTube. You can watch him after he wins, telling his buddies back at ASU, man, we're going to party tonight.
Hey.
And he's just this young, oh yeah. He's a young kid with one thing on his, maybe two things on his mind.
I was going to say, I can probably add one or two. Was that before his senior year?
Yeah,
that he won that?
I think so.
Like 1990?
Yeah. It was like the Northern Telecom Open. It was in Tucson. The tournament.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Okay. It's coming back to me. Okay. At the start of the show, you guys mentioned the Larry Scott news. He will, as of July 1st, no longer be the commissioner of the Pac-12. You mentioned his tennis background.
Hold on. I just got to hit this again.
All right. We're running late. You mentioned that grunting in tennis is one of those things that really small in sports, but it grinds your gears.
Uh-huh.
So our open-ended question, what minor thing, such as grunting in tennis, just really annoys you in
sports? Not cheating, not steroid use, not rule changes, stuff
the,
like that.
The NHL standings.
That's a great one.
Thank you.
I saw some people bring that up. It's like the overtime loss.
Darn it.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a great answer. Here's a minor one for me. I don't consider myself much of a bowling fan, but the fact that the top bowlers in the world now are bowling with two hands, when did this become a thing?
Are they really?
Oh, yes.
What? Deal
yeah.
What?
Yes.
Really?
I'm telling you, Bick.
Gotta stay up at 3 a.m. and watch bowling on ESPN.
Don't you remember bowling in the heyday in the good old days? Earl Anthony, Mark Roth.
That's it. That's
Mark Holman. Yep.
Pete Weber.
Pete Weber.
Oh, who do you think you are?
That's right.
I am. All time great.
That's Potsy Weber.
All right, let's get into some of the responses. There were some really, really good ones from our listeners today. The minor things that annoy you most in sports. Jonathan Hayward says, hitters in baseball readjusting their stuff between every single pitch.
Amen to that.
I agree.
They're batting gloves, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I guess that counts as stuff.
Like that, that also counts as stuff. It's different stuff. Stuff that we can't exactly say on the air. Corey Decker says a basketball player clearly committing a foul. The ref calls the foul on the player. And then a gif of, what? From the basketball player.
Ah, the Tim Duncan move.
Yeah.
Yep.
SV233 says Skip Bayless's Twitter thread. I just recommend you mute that person. AZ Sports Girl says wearing a team's jersey at a game where neither of the teams playing
That's a good one.
Is the team you're repping.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That might be the answer. Yeah. That drives me crazy.
Me too. I left a response because this really grinds my gears. In football, defensive backs celebrating like crazy a pass breakup that actually was just an overthrown ball and they had zero effect on the play.
Or a drop.
But they're celebrating.
A flat-out drop.
Yeah.
Or
it was theirs.
The same vein. The play happens. Incomplete. They wave their arms.
Yeah,
they dance around. And then there's a penalty flag for pass interference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cody Fincher from here in the building. He says the wave.
Yes. Good
one. I think that goes without saying. Absolutely.
Dustin says John Elway's teeth.
Oh. That's not nice.
Pete Carroll's gum.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, that is a good one. Derek Left says anything Draymond Green does.
That's a good one.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Oh, and then sticking with the Warriors, Tyler Carmine just leaves a photo of Steph Curry with his mouth guard, chewing on his mouth guard, which has become, I think, more popular recently.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah. Lots of good ones.
There's a lot of little pet peeves.
Yeah, if you want to get mad, scroll through that on Bickley _ Nerada.
I'm doing it. I'm going to continue to do it through the commercial break, too.
There we go.
All right, Sarah, thank you
Sarah.
So much.
Thanks, guys.
Sarah Cazell takes us through social studies every day at 1. Coming up next, we'll continue our tour of the Final Four NFL teams. The Green Bay Packers are up next. We'll talk to their play-by-play voice, the great Wayne Larrivee, next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Dan Bickley and Vince Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Couple days away from Championship Sunday, Aaron Rodgers finally gets to be in a home jersey in an NFC Championship game at Lambeau as they take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And here, joining the show, their great play-by-play radio voice, Wayne Larrivee, checks in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Wayne, it's been a while. Thanks for coming on the show. It's always good to have you on.
Good to be back with you guys again.
Now, the Aaron Rodgers questions. He is playing the quarterback position, as you well know, about as good as you can play it. But when you look at, people always talk about pressure at this point and legacy and resume. How much are you putting into Aaron Rodgers being under immense pressure to get to another Super Bowl at this point?
Well, his whole what he's been pointing to all season is to get to the NFC Championship game and get the game at home. So, no, I think he's looked forward to this moment. We mere mortals might feel a lot of pressure and get really jittery and that type of thing. But guys like Rodgers, Tom Brady, those guys, they relish these opportunities. That's what they live and play for.
When you take a look at this this Packers team, there was I don't know what the word to describe it, but I know last year for a 13-win team, they didn't have the playoff experience. A lot of people thought they would. This Packers team looks like it's firing on a lot of cylinders, particularly offensively. How has this team gelled over the course of the season?
Yeah, I would say offense number one is much better this year than it was a year ago. They were 13-3 a year ago, and I believe they had like a plus 68 point differential or 63, something like that. It was the lowest point differential by any team that had won 13 or more games since 1970. And so, last year's team won a lot of close games. This year's team did what really good teams do. When it came time to win the ball game, they basically closed down the opponent and pulled away by double digits. So today, this team had a 140-plus point differential, which was third overall in the league. Baltimore was number one at 165, and New Orleans was next at 145. So this is a team that's a lot better, I think, in many respects, but offensively especially. Defensively, they're different. They're not as good in some areas as they were a year ago, but they're better in other areas. And I think in general, probably a better defense overall than they had a year ago.
Staying on the offensive side of the ball and focusing on the quarterback, we've seen great things from Aaron Rodgers in his career, and I kind of hit on it in the first question I asked you, Wayne, but is this the best you've seen him play?
Yeah, I would have to say so. I mean, 2011, he had an incredibly deep and talented cast around him. The people he had around him in 2011 are a lot like the people Brady has around him today. Just a lot of talent and experience of the skill positions. This group, outside of Devontae Adams, a lot of young guys who are just coming into their own. But they're not the household names that Rodgers had back in 2011 with Greg Jennings and Donald Driver and Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and JerMichael Finley. Those guys, they were by then household names. Now, Aaron's working with a new group of players that are just now starting to reach their potential.
When it comes to the Packers and the fan base, obviously the relationship is legendary. It's one of the best in football. What's it been like this year playing in empty stadiums in a city that is so in love with its football team? How is this particular team resonating with the fan base? What does that feel like, Wayne?
Well, first off, it's really sad. I mean, you go to the stadium and there's you don't have that buzz that you had when the parking lots were full 4 hours ahead of the kickoff and everybody was buzzing about the game and that type of thing. And then you get into the stadium and it's very quiet for the most part. And, once the game starts, your attention's focused on the field. Maybe you don't notice it quite as much, but you notice it in every way. And the players, earlier this year, the Packers were struggling at home. They got beaten, hammered by Minnesota at home earlier this year. I mean, the final score wasn't indicative of the way the game was played. And they were having trouble getting up and playing at home. They were playing much better on the road. And, LaFleur was trying to figure out what is going on here. And a lot of it had to do with they missed the juice that the people bring to that stadium, every week when they're at home. So they've adjusted to that. That it's been different down the stretch now. They've also added some fans. And they'll have a little over, almost 8,000 people in the stadium. And that certainly was a big help, I know, against the Rams in the divisional playoffs. And it should be this week, too, in the NFC Championship game.
Wayne Larrivee, the play-by-play voice for the Green Bay Packers, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. The Packers got off to such a good start this year, 4-0. They head into the bye. They come out of the bye. They play Tampa Bay in Tampa in week 6. And it was a one-sided affair, a 28-point win for the Bucs. In your opinion, how much have the Packers improved or changed since then? And can you read much into that game as a preview of things for this week?
Well, you certainly, first off, it was no fluke. Now, the Packers had their worst day, especially Aaron Rodgers played his worst game of the year. That's one thing. But the Buccaneers were really good that day, and they had been coming off a loss to the Bears, and the Packers are coming off a bye, and it just one of those, the biorhythms must have been off. Something was off. The Packers weren't able to compete that day. They got up 10-0 and then gave up 38 unanswered points. And the game was about a 38-point game. And, but since then, I think the Packers have done a better job of adjusting to things. Like, for example, Tampa did some things with their blitzes that really threw off the offense. And today, Tampa's going to do its thing. It's going to blitz and all that. But I think the offense has more answers, more adjustments to make. Devontae Adams was talking about that the other day. He said, we're better at making in-game adjustments now than we were back then. But I think it was a bad day for Green Bay. It was a great day for Tampa Bay. Yeah. They looked terrific in that game. And to be honest with you, Tampa is a supremely talented team, and there's no question that was not a fluke. I'm not saying that was a fluke at all back in October.
Yeah. What does the future of Aaron Rodgers look like in Green Bay from your perspective? I know he mentioned his future just yesterday. He called it a beautiful mystery. There's been a lot of speculation with the drafting of Jordan Love, where the team might be thinking and what might be the plan in terms of the future. Where do you think this whole thing is going?
I don't think it's going anywhere for the next year, maybe two. Beyond that, it's hard to tell. I don't know. If Aaron Rodgers plays like this, why would you do anything but keep him in the fold? I mean, this is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So no one has mentioned anything, about that, even off the record or on the record. Nobody's talked much about it. Aaron has mentioned in vague terms, like you just said, about the future. But I don't think anyone really knows. And to be honest with you, no one's really concerned about that right now. They're concerned about what this team is and what they've become. And I got to tell you something. This is a much better team than the team the Packers took to the playoffs a year ago. And I think that's the number one thing people are focused on within the organization and the team.
All right, last question from a guy who grew up listening to you in Chicago, and you're just as good now as you were then. How would you compare and contrast Bears fans versus Packers fans? Or is that a dangerous question, Wayne?
I would say they're extremely similar. They're very hard on their team. These fans, you know, they know the game, both Chicago fans and Green Bay fans. They really know the game. They know their team. They're emotionally involved with their team, and they are constantly picking at their team to improve the areas that they feel like are deficiencies. I don't know how often I've heard in the last 22 years that the Packers coming off a win and people lamenting the fact that, gosh, that was an ugly win, that kind of thing. But if anyone from the outside comes in and starts criticizing their team, well, that person better, you know, run for the hills.
Right.
Because, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. I think the fan bases are very similar, obviously from the same parts of the country. And, you know, it's been a privilege for me to broadcast games for these two legendary franchises. Yeah. It is the high point of my career to be able to do that, to have done a Super Bowl with the Bears and a Super Bowl with the Packers. That, to me, that's the high point of my career. And to be able to serve, Chicago is the best sports town in America, period. There's nothing, no one compares that. And I'm an East Coast guy. I'm a New York guy. But nothing compares to Chicago sports fans. And, you know, as far as the passion for the Packers and Green Bay, there's nothing like that either. So they're very similar. I'll say that much. They don't want to admit that, but they are. They'll cut from the same cloth.
Yeah. Wayne, thanks so much for carving out some time for us. Have a great call on Sunday.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thanks. Wayne Larrivee, Green Bay Packers play-by-play voice. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Infinity Luxury Cars, legendary service. Visit coulterinfinity.com. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Look for the challenge of playing the Bills. So they're a good football team. Well coached. I mean, Sean's done a tremendous job there. He's got really good coordinators, head coach caliber coordinators. And, you know, they're just a real good football team. Every angle you look at, they're a good football team and have talent. So
Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, taking a look at the Buffalo Bills. They'll face each other in the AFC Championship game, Bucks and Packers in the NFC Championship game.
Football coach and barbecued burnt ends recommender.
Yes. Bick was getting such a kick out of watching you listen to that story that Adam Teicher was telling us.
It just dovetailed into nothing but food.
Yes.
Nothing but Andy Reid and food.
This is what we were running late that segment, too, and normally Jarrett's like giving us the break sign. And because we were talking about barbecue and food, he had no inclination to do that.
This is what I always say, though, when people say, oh, how could you make fun of Andy Reid so much? Everything I say about him is barely an exaggeration of the truth, one, and two, he makes fun of himself all the time. That bit of information that the big offensive linemen love playing him for him because he gives barbecue recommendations.
It was more than that. It was more than that. It's not just the recommendations. It was what time of day
where the lines aren't as long.
Yeah, well, and to get
the fresher burnt ends,
the best burnt ends.
Tremendous.
All right, unbelievable story. Hearing that explanation, Jarrett, how do you explain your vicious, unwarranted, and constant attacks on Adam Silver, a man who never makes fun of himself?
Well, I, for one, have great pride in the planet Earth and one who defend it against all outside aliens.
Mm. Thanks.
Speaking of aliens, I don't know about you, but there was a moment last night during the Suns game when I felt, not to get into basketball, where I felt like there was an alien invasion going on. The feed on Fox Sports Arizona suddenly went a hue of green, really weird coloring to it. I switched over to the ESPN feed, and the play-by-play guy,
Mark Jones, was doing it from like a telephone.
Yes, and it sounded
walkie-talkie.
Right, it sounded horrible. I'm like, this is bizarre.
That's sports broadcasting in 2020, man.
Okay, back to topic.
The update again from Andy Reid today. Once again, he said Patrick Mahomes took the majority of the snaps in Thursday's practice. Quote, Pat looked good out there. He's moving around well. He feels good. It's just important we follow the protocol, and that's what we're doing. So very similar language to what he used on yesterday after practice. Not changing my feeling at all. I think Patrick Mahomes will play. Other news around the league today, the Rams did get their defensive coordinator officially. Raheem Morris moves over from Atlanta. He takes over for Brandon Staley. With the Nick Sirianni hiring, I've noticed a trend, too, over the last few years. Nick Sirianni becomes the latest young, stubble beard-wearing coach in the NFL.
How old is he?
39.
Oh, man.
He joins McVay, Shanahan, LaFleur, and Kingsbury in this group now.
Wow.
They're taking over the league, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah, with mixed results, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because Brendan Staley, he's never had a head coaching job. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know how any football team would feel comfortable in that kind of situation. I mean, it's a big job. It requires a certain heft of voice. It requires some real experience, not just so you do the job well, so people take you seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how hard it is for a football coach or any kind of head coach to be a head coach when they've never been a head coach before? Players whisper about it all the time. You have anything like that, if you have anything missing from the resume on the professional level, I was in Chicago where Blackhawks players would roll their eyes at Mike Keenan because he never played the game on the NHL level. Like, what do you know?
He was pretty successful, though.
That poor guy only got 14 other head coaching opportunities after
Well, he was a brilliant head coach, but he was also just out of his mind.
Wore out his welcome after about 3 years at every place.
He was out of his mind, yeah.
Do you think that bothers players more in the NFL than other sports, though? Because, like, Steve Nash, head coach of the Nets, never an assistant coach, nothing, and got the head coaching job. And
when you play the game at that high of a level, then you get a pass. It's like when Larry Bird became a head coach, when Magic became a head coach. Now, you know, they did it to varying degrees of success. But that to me, the youth thing, Sean McVay has proven that that's not the number, the youth is not an issue. It's the experience and what you do with it. I don't know.
I mean, you bring up a valid point, but I think that gets washed away pretty quickly. You know, Joe Judge, the example. Remember the early days of the Joe Judge experience in New York? There wasn't a whole lot of positive stuff coming out. He's a rah-rah guy. He's really hard on his players. I think Joe Judge is a guy... now 1 year into his head coaching tenure with the Giants, he's a guy that players want to play for.
Remember A.J. Hinch here in Arizona?
Yeah.
Promoted to manager well beyond his time, had never done it before. Players like, give me a break, respect the process, please. And at the time, Josh Burns, his famous line was, well, look, he'll figure out how to do a double switch. What's important is the...
organizational advocacy.
Well done, well done.
Fill in the blank.
Well done.
In our conversation with Wayne Larrivee, you brought up this quote from Aaron Rodgers that he said yesterday. And, you know, it has to do with the future. He's getting up there in years. Obviously, there's no drop-off in play. And, yes, the Packers did draft a quarterback in the first round last April, but kind of an interesting take on his own future.
I hope there's more opportunities, but I don't know. I mean, I really don't. And that's stuff out of my control. I mean, my future is a beautiful mystery, I think. Present is such a gift to just be able to stay in the moment and to have gratitude for being in a situation again and being with the guys and having fans with our stadium and maybe snow on an NFC championship game. I mean, I'm going to enjoy these moments for sure. Just not worry about what happens down the line.
Pretty interesting take.
Well, yeah.
Doesn't sound like a guy who's dealing with a whole lot of pressure on
him. He's got a contract out after... next year? Yeah, I think after next season. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Or maybe it's 2022, but he built in an out for himself. And I wonder judging by that language he used yesterday, whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to finish his career elsewhere. meaning he wants to.
Another guy, keep him the hell away from San Francisco.
Oh, exactly. Because, I mean, he's a Northern California kid, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
49ers passed on him. He's never been happy about that.
Does he hold a grudge after all these years? Where is he going to get that Rodgers rate? That is the question.
Everybody gets the Rodgers rate. Come on, Vince.
They're on their sixth different commercial. He doesn't understand it yet.
That's right. And again, I just don't understand. Is it Jake his name?
Yeah,
Jake from State Farm.
I just don't understand why Jake wouldn't go along and play the game. Go, dude, I'm hooking you up.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Keep giving me those giant steaks.
Well, right. If there's one thing that I know about Jake is that he's all about integrity and honesty.
And those guns.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, doesn't he look like if Devin Booker just spent a year straight in the gym?
Yes.
People, when Chris Paul joined the team, they did the screen caps of the fake Chris Paul with Jake from State Farm. And then Devin Booker with Chris Paul, and they were like, what the hell's going on
here? I spend way too much time analyzing the plot lines of insurance commercials. I freely admit it. It's become it's become a real problem for me.
Aaron Rodgers' agent that you hate in those commercials.
Hey, what happened to him? He's just gone now? Are you concerned? I'm a little concerned about him. I mean, Gabe was kind of a shady character.
Without a doubt.
But where did he go? All right, you started the show by saying it was going to get weird.
Yeah, no, it's good.
I just took it
weirdness
really,
is good.
Really weird.
I'm very comfortable in the realm of weirdness.
All right, coming up next, we got a little rivalry action on the hardwood tonight in the state, and yes, the construction and erection of the best billboard in Arizona history. All straight ahead. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
Sometimes we'll just go completely off the grid, and we'll play a song that we mentioned on the air yesterday, a song of the day. There's no rules.
When does the song start?
This is a much longer piano intro than I was anticipating.
This is not the radio version. Soak it in.
Oh, here we go.
Michael Martin Murphy, is that it?
Vinny, I don't know if you know this, but there's been a hoot owl outside my window now for 3 days in a row.
You know, I
recognize that. That's a lyric from the song.
I only know the chorus.
He's coming for me, I know. And on Wildfire, we're both going to go.
Wow.
I might be wrong about that. It's close. But I know somewhere Gambo is singing. Poorly.
We mentioned this yesterday. Instead, we played Wildflower. Let's play a wild song tomorrow, too. What do you say? So we got Wildflower, Wildfire. There it is.
Wild Child. Wild Thing.
You make my heart sing. On a cold Nebraska night. Yeah, wow, this is terrible.
No, the chorus isn't bad. But, I mean, Carlin chose the song with the 5-minute intro.
Actually, I chose it. We were scrambling to this.
As the intro was playing, I got it queued up. So.
Yeah, well. They say
she died one way. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that is depressing stuff.
Can you fast forward to the chord? Do you have that ability?
I apologize.
Love that song.
I got.
Don't apologize. That was a popular song at one point in time.
Yeah, 1974.
Yeah, right.
You may have seen this. If you have, I apologize. But with the inauguration of Joe Biden as the new president of the United States, he becomes kind of a part of a sports trivia question. because he is a graduate of the University of Delaware. So there's only a handful of schools that have produced both a U.S. president and a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Delaware is now one of them.
Is that right?
Because of Joe Flacco. Can you name the others?
Michigan.
Yeah.
Gerald Ford and Tom Brady.
Correct. I don't have a lot of knowledge of where presidents went to college, so that's what really holds me back. But
okay, give me the rest.
The others are the United States Naval Academy, Jimmy Carter and Roger Staubach.
Okay.
West Point, probably.
Stanford, Herbert Hoover, and two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, Jim Plunkett, John Elway, and Miami of Ohio, the other one.
Ben Roethlisberger and...
Another Ben.
Ben...
Benjamin Harrison.
Benjamin Harrison.
Very good.
Yes. Yeah.
Also, Joe Biden becomes the first ever Joe president, which you'd think the most popular name is the first ever Joe or Joseph.
That's not really the most popular name. John's more popular probably.
Somebody wrote a piece on ESPN.com, and it had a great headline. It was, sports, politics, you may go back to your own corners now.
Yeah, that'll happen. All right, so we got ASU, U of A on the floor tonight at Desert Financial Arena. The Sun Devils, I said this earlier in the week, when they made this adjustment to the schedule, this game is being played on the night that it was originally scheduled. They're doing it next Monday in Tucson, same two teams. So basically, it's a home-and-home. It's a back-to-back. This is either ASU's biggest, best, and maybe last opportunity to turn around this season, or it could be just shovels of dirt on the coffin. And I have not watched, I don't think, one Arizona game. And the cast of characters is different. The names aren't that familiar. I have no idea what to expect from them. They've played better than I thought they would.
Mm-hmm.
ASU's been one of the disappointments of the country this year.
Yes. So instead of looking at it as a negative, Vinny, look at it as redemption. Look at it as a chance now to go and grab something that has really been deeply unsatisfying up until now.
Jarrett, what is your scouting report on the Wildcats?
I'm very, I hate so much, I hate that they put the self-imposed sanctions on themselves, because I love U of A basketball more than anything else, and I have lost so much interest in it when I know the games don't matter at all.
So you're not watching that much?
I've watched all the games, but...
What can you tell me about Benedict Mathurin?
Very, lately especially, really good. Freshman.
Yeah. Since Baker went out, he's been playing better.
Yeah, that's the thing, is Baker, one of their best players, is injured and out. But I'm trying to view it as I hope they take these two games as, you know, sort of something to take away from the season, and they put it on ASU. One, as those Schmageggies put the that billboard up.
Oh, that's where I was going next.
Real quickly, what I will say, what I've heard about Arizona basketball is it's like any other year. They'll have a couple of first-round picks. They have a lack of player development and underachieving basketball team. Welcome to a player's program.
I thought you were going to say that they'll have a couple of draft picks, and they won't be playing in March very long. That's Sean Miller.
Right.
That is true.
Okay.
About that billboard, near Casa Grande on I-10, a big maroon billboard with two shields with the number 70-7 with devil horns and a tail, and in the Arizona State font, "No pity for the kitty." Pretty fantastic. Chris Cartman's website, sundevilsource.com, said it was paid for by VIP members of their community online, the Devil Sanctuary, who wanted to remind Arizona fans of the most lopsided game in Territorial Cup history.
I cannot believe in recent vintage how noteworthy and newsworthy these Territorial Cups have been. If it wasn't the remarkable comeback for ASU, it was Arizona's second half of just running the ball down ASU's throat to this final score. No offense, Wildcats fans, you're never living that down. 70-7.
But the timing of it is interesting going into back-to-back basketball games between the two schools.
Oh, that's a good point.
But I have no problem with this because I can still... I have to go downtown quite often now for COVID testing and for Suns games. I can still drive by on a regular basis a big sign on the side of a building in downtown Phoenix that says this is Wildcat Country.
Right.
It most certainly is not.
No.
So I'm all for this this billboard war.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Remember,
Jared, why haven't you booked Jed Fish yet? Why hasn't Jed Fish made his debut on this program?
I'll look into it.
Thanks for the idea. Real quick, a golf note to end the show today.
Oh,
remember
good.
The Kevin Kistner quote where he said, hey, they pay a lot of money for 20th place. That's why I show up to these events.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear the Jon Rahm thing?
No.
He withdrew from the American Express tournament because he hurt himself in the gym. He said, truth is, I hurt myself in the gym. I'm taking time off right now, trying to be smart. I could play right now, but I don't want to make it worse. I'm feeling good, not 100%. I could play and make the cut, maybe even a top 20, but I don't think I can win, then no point in playing. He's the anti-Kevin Kistner.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. But then again, Jon Rahm makes a lot of money where he doesn't have to do that kind of stuff.
That is true. He views 20th as a failure.
Yeah.
Thanks to Adam Teicher. Wayne Larrabee for joining us. Thanks to you for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow. Burns and Gambo up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
See ya.